Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Speak for Yourself, presented by the Popeye's Chicken Sandwich. Hello. Welcome, Marcellus Wiley. Mayo Otto's
What's
back
up,
in the building.
Brother?
How you doing?
I'm great, man. It's going to be a big day.
It's going to be a huge day right now with some huge news out of college football, where Fox College football analyst Bruce Feldman is reporting the Big Ten's presidents have voted to postpone the 2020 college football season, but they are hoping they can play in the spring. Otto, what's your reaction to this huge news?
Man, I have been quiet on this issue, Marcellus. For one reason, I don't get paid to tweet. But secondly, I had to gather my thoughts because I don't like things that don't make sense. This doesn't make sense. What I will say first and foremost, kudos to those who were putting the health and safety of the players first. Kudos to those. I'll get that out the way.
Got it out of the way.
But if you're putting health and safety first, if you're postponing the season to the spring for health reasons, for safety reasons, how in the heck can you make sense of playing a spring season knowing you have to then play a fall season? Bro, football is one of the most, if not the most violent games that there is. The goal, the objective is for me to abuse the man across from me. That is my goal. Inflict as much pain onto another human being as I possibly can. You want me to do that in the spring, turn around, take 2 months off in the summer, but there ain't no off time because you're really training, then do that again into the fall. If you're postponing the college season for safety, then you are undermining the very reason you are postponing it for by playing it in the spring. I understand there are underlying heart conditions that we don't exactly know about that we have found in relation to COVID, and that's the one of the reasons that the Big Ten is postponing that. I understand that. When I was studying CTE, I understand there was a quote, we know as much about this as we did with heart disease in the 1960s. So I understand that we don't know what we don't know with COVID. I have no problem with suspending a season. But what I have a problem with is the illogical nature of what they're doing now. Don't try to postpone something for safety and then still undermine that safety in six months when you try to force the issue.
I'm with you there. Here's the problem right now, and let's bring it to football because this is doing a disservice to those kids in terms of taking them away from a college football season, taking them away from that formal structure, that authority, how we all buy into that positive peer pressure. Not all of us are going to make it. We understand that, but we're all chasing a common goal, and that makes us feel a form of solidarity that you don't see outside those borders, outside of your team, even on the campus, let alone now these kids potentially can be back in their real-world environments. Man, I've been a college football player, right? Got that check. Also know about the structure that it provides for you and how it enhances you, incentivizes you to do the best you can do, show your best version in a pursuit of maybe having a career at the pro level.
Absolutely.
Or, as I like to tell all student athletes, to really build up your hardware so that when you hit the real world, you can apply all software to who you are. Accountability, responsibility. Waking yourself up is a task once you leave high school to a freshman year in college. You're like, wait a minute, mama and dad's not coming in here? No, the alarm clock is there. Set it. For you to be responsible with your work, for you to have a balance in that of being a student athlete. I say all this because all they're doing right now is punting the ball down the field.
Uh-oh. Elaborate, son.
Now, I knew when the Ivy League said it was over, everybody was going to say it was over, pretty much. Now, the SEC and the ACC are sitting there like, y'all can do what y'all want to do. We are not in connection with you guys. That said, I knew it because people were going to lean into the intellectual community, lean into academia, and not really have a logical answer to this, but just try to punt the ball down the field so they didn't have to deal with the consequences right now. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting in our game, football, you start to see a lot more coaches go for it on fourth down. And you know why? Because they looked at the deeper numbers, not the surface numbers. The surface numbers tell you, hey, it's 4-for-1, give the ball to the other team, no matter where it is. And you're like, somebody finally crunched the calculator and said, wait a minute, do you know the percentages? And let's dive into those percentages. I don't know of any athletes that have contracted COVID and died. I don't. You talk about this demographic. You talk about this age range. You talk about this health risk or lack thereof with this demographic. You start to crunch different numbers and come to a realization that you don't need to punt. You need to go for it. Provide these guys the structure, stability that they need, and I don't think the risk factor will be great.
There's so much to unpack here, but I'm going to stay in the moving it to the spring space. There's so much to unpack.
You just don't
but
like
I'm gonna
that.
I'm going to stay in this space, bro. Think about this for a second. Mm. It's hard enough to convince players to play in bowl games. It's hard enough to convince some players to play in bowl games.
Right, right.
And now you're going to try to convince them to play in an entire season. Oh, wait, think about this. The NFL Combine, Marcellus, I went to it. I believe you went to
it.
Yes. We all went there.
It
occurs in the spring.
All right.
So now if you're a player that was going to try to play in the next level, play at the next level, it occurs in the spring. But if you're a guy who was going to come back anyway, you were going to come back and play in the fall. Mm. So it actually makes no sense now to play in the spring and then play in the fall as an athlete. But let's look a little bit deeper because you went there, so I'm going to go there with you.
Oh.
Everybody can't go pro. Mm-mm. Everybody doesn't play in the National Football League. Mm. I was blessed to for 4 years. You were blessed to for a decade.
Yeah.
But everybody can't do that. So now you're talking about college athletes who, this is their glory days, bruh. Mm. Like, this is the time where you learn about yourself, specifically about football. You learn about yourself as a man. You learn about yourself and develop these characteristics for how you're going to navigate the rest of your life. And you just lost that. But when you think about the athletes, the guys like Joe Burrow, Joe Burrow wouldn't have been a number one pick if he wouldn't have played that last year.
That year before,
he
nope.
might have been a 6th, 7th round pick, maybe.
Yeah.
But he's not. His whole life changed because of that last year. So I feel for the players. I feel for the athletes, bro, who are going to lose so much, who have lost so much by delaying, by postponing the season.
Mm, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. No matter your draft status, just 4 years of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And you have to give one of those back potentially. For what risk factors? That's why I don't see the balance in this. I hear my grandma talking right now. Baby, you can't make sense out of nonsense. Mm. And right now, when I hear you talk to me, a 20-year-old junior, mm-hmm. and you're telling me we're not going to have a season because of COVID, and I'm watching other seasons, and I know what's driving the professional seasons. The economic forces, they're greater. They have a governing body. They have commissioners. They have one person in authority that can lead this. And that takes me down another path, which college football, unfortunately, is too late to the party. Where is your commissioner and subcommittee focused on college football? We're in a world right now where everybody has a hashtag, and one of them is equality. I even have one of the shirts, equality. But you got to understand that in pro sports, the meritocracy of it, mm-hmm. you only eat what you kill. Mm. And last time I checked, badminton ain't killing jack. But we have a president of the NCAA who, in the same sentence, will bring up college football and badminton, bring up college football and volleyball. Wait a minute. I understand you have a lot on your plate, so let me help you out. Someone needs to step in, and it should have been yesterday, but it definitely needs to occur, where your focus is college football. That is the cash cow. Yeah. That is the golden goose. And then you can say, okay, let's create another committee for college basketball. The rest of y'all get his plate full of badminton, volleyball, tennis, etc. But when we act like they're all in the same, we come to a universal application that is not fair to all sports.
And it's not. And you, people about to be tweeting at you, bro.
What y'all gonna do with these things?
You're speaking some truth right now that I am typically too scared to speak, but you're right.
Mm.
The fact of the matter is, football is the sport that makes these programs go.
Come on.
You lose football.
Come on.
You've now lost so much else because there are so many legalities to the matter. But I'm going to make this personal because some people don't understand the topics at hand until you make it personal. My junior year, I tried to leave early, Marcellus. I tried to declare for the NFL draft.
You want to get out?
I put my name in the hat. I said, hey, where will I be drafted? Got that letter back, said
nowhere.
You'll go undrafted. My junior year, Marcellus, I had 87 tackles. Came back my senior year, had 130. Had
my dog.
Senior year, my dog. Balled out. End up going to the league. But more importantly, it wasn't what I did in the NFL that got me to where I am. It's what I did in college, Marcellus. Because my senior year at Texas, righted the wrongs. Then went back to Texas on Longhorn Network. And now ended up where I am because of what happened my last year in college.
Mm.
So I really feel for these kids who are losing out on potentially their last year in college. Because it's not just about what will happen on a gridiron, my brother.
Talk.
You don't know if what will happen that last year in college, what would have transpired on the field and off the field, would have changed the trajectory of your life because it did for me. So more than anything, when I look at this issue, the people who fumbled this ball figuratively, those in power, those in charge who fumbled this ball, really changed and altered the trajectory of lives for these impressionable 17 to 21 and 22-year-old young men.
Say it, man. So much of your course going forward will be altered just by this decision. For trivial reasons, talking directly to this population. I'm not talking about Corona and COVID at large. I'm talking about to college football players when you can put them in a pseudo-bubble. Just the structure of college football on a team is a pseudo-bubble because of that stability and structure. But what we have is a civil war. Presidents and chancellors sitting there with the puppeteers behind them, which are the lawyers, fear of litigation, now talking to the coaches and players on the other side. And in that fight, we know who's going to win. Unfortunately, it's going to be the presidents and chancellors. Oh, disturbing. Coming up, the Big Ten has voted to postpone the college football season. We have more reaction from Fox Sports college football analyst Brock Huert next. Speak for yourself. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Big news in college football. The Big Ten announced today that they will postpone the 2020 college football season, but added they will evaluate plan in the spring. Whew. Joined now by Fox college football analyst Brock Huert. Brock, coming to you first, big dog. What's your reaction to this news?
Well, I get to speak for myself, right? That's the show.
Please do. Please do, brother.
So, okay. I heard for these kids, man, just as you two do, right? We all have different journeys that we've been on. We all grew up in different places, but we know what those 4 or 5 years in college did for each of us. I thought Joe Burrow, his tweet over the weekend or yesterday was spectacular, and it's truth. You know, had he not had last season, he would be looking for a job. He wouldn't be in the league. He wouldn't have been the number one pick or won Heisman Trophy. We all know what 1 year can do for a student athlete. We all know the importance of football, and what it means is the engine on campus that drives every other sport. I feel terrible for the football players and the student athletes this fall that see this postponed. I will certainly feel worse when we watch other sports that have to be cut around the conference, likely around the country, again, because of shortfalls. I wish they would have delayed. I wish they would have postponed. I wish they would have taken the same track that I believe the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 are going to continue to do, and that is learn, and that is listen. But they didn't. They've taken the track in many ways of the leadership from their states. And this, to me, if we would have sat down a month ago, I would have said, I'm really fearful for the Pac-12 and the Big 10 because the way their leadership has handled this from the top, more than likely, they're going to shut it down and try to push it off and postpone it. So that's just speaking right from the heart. I feel terrible for the kids and many of the student athletes.
Yeah, what we also need to acknowledge, to Brock's point, is there's a domino effect. Mm-hmm. Everybody's talking about football, and I understand that, rightfully so. Football is the cash cow. But if you don't play football, you're not playing volleyball, you're not playing soccer, you're not playing any other fall sport. And so think about the domino effect of all the college athletes from the Big Ten and other conferences that may follow suit around the nation that now don't have that. But Marcellus and Brock, I'm going to go somewhere that intentionally planning on going. When I was studying chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE. I was studying that, CTE, that was the issue that everybody was talking about with the brain and concussions and all that everybody was saying, well, maybe we should stop playing football. maybe we should stop playing football because of CTE. But then I was studying with major neurologists, and they said, here's the issue, Wacho. You gain so many other things by playing football that when you think about the risks that you may take on in CTE, you kind of mitigate some of those risks because of the other advantages. Mm. When I think about COVID, I think about, I'm 29 years old. I was playing in college 10 years ago. You now give student athletes 20 to 40 more hours of time to try to fill. You're now taking on some other risks, okay? When you try to force a season later on in the spring, you're taking on other risks. So while you might be dodging A, you're just increasing B. You might be moving away from X, but you're only moving closer towards Y. So this is an issue not just because the football season is canceled. And again, I understand putting the interest and the safety of the players first. But just because you dodge one thing, I don't think the NCAA, at least the Big Ten thus far, has gotten it right. Because I don't think they're necessarily preventing themselves from all issues.
Yeah, man. Oof. Let's get into this conflict. The conflict of the idealists and the realists. Those who want solutions and those who understand it's just trade-offs. And that's what you're talking about, trade-offs, not a solution-based mindset. Unfortunately, when you have leadership that is trying to find a solution, in part because of fear of litigation, in part because of liability, not really looking at it like the whole phrasing student-athlete. You take off the second word, athlete, what's going to fill in that space? What's going to fill in that void? The structure of being on a college campus, fighting for a team, fighting with your team, will give you the best opportunity not only for a healthier environment, but also a healthier mindset to push forward through these conditions. Instead, these guys are going to be left out there trying to fend for themselves without the same resources, medical staff on call. I learned this the hard way. You know I was injury prone, so I stayed in medical facilities and getting MRIs. And I was eating the sauce. Look, I'm in the NFL for 10 years. I need an MRI. I get it in an hour. In the real world, it doesn't work like this. I remember the first time I tweaked my meniscus. And then I was like, let me go to give me an MRI today. They were like, today? I was like, yeah. I had to pull the Marcellus Wiley car connection.
Did it work?
That week. It didn't work that day. But the point is, you're going to send 20-year-olds, teenagers potentially, out into the real world to fend for themselves. So, Brock, when you see this and the dominoes are falling, what other conferences do you anticipate maybe taking the same lead as the Big Ten?
Well, I think that's what's fascinating, guys. A couple things. Number one, you know you're injury prone, Marcellus, when you know it's your meniscus that hurts.
Facts.
That shows how finely tuned injury like, guys, prone
it's
you are.
It's my meniscus, Doc. It's not right here.
Always. I think I hurt my knee, but man, you knew every tissue of every body part you had because it all got hurt.
Seriously.
And so did I. I think here's what's going to be fascinating is I don't think we're in March. I don't think we're in April. Emmanuel, you talked about the discovery period for you in your search, right, for the search for CTE and answers. Mm-hmm. We're still on that search. We're 6-7 months in, and unlike March, where it was right for everybody to pull the plug and go, whoa, 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 what in the world is going on? What is hitting us? We are all going to shut down. You are going to see, I believe, the SEC and the ACC. In fact, a doctor friend of mine who's connected in that world sent me a note from one of the Duke infectious disease doctors who's on the advisory board for the ACC and said, nope, we're planning to continue to move ahead. The schools in the Big 12 are planning to move ahead. The SEC is planning to move ahead as we sit here today. Now, will the pressure mount so significantly on these presidents, as you all have talked to and alluded to, who have made these decisions, or will these schools just have the backing of their government, the backing of their public offices to say no? We're going to go for this. We're going to mitigate it just as the NFL has, just as the MLB has, just as the NBA and the WNBA and the MLS and the European soccer leagues and NASCAR and PGA and everybody else has said, we've got to live with this. We've got to navigate it. We're going to continue to learn. There is no thought and no bone in my body that thought when those schedules were announced last week, great, sign me up. I'm going to be out there every week. You knew that it was going to have to be nimble and flexible and things were going to have to move around and you're going to have to navigate it. And I'll be fascinated to see if the other three Power Five conferences navigate it, take a little time, or follow suit because the pressure will be great on those presidents and those in the position of leadership.
Agreed. One thing, Brock, that I don't like criticizing without offering solutions.
Okay.
So you think about some of the solutions. Well, we all played college sports. During training camp, the football players, they're sent to a dorm where all the football players are housed at. So you talk about, well, how can you feasibly come up with a bubble for college athletes? You put the college athletes in a dorm like they are during training camp, and they eat in that dining hall, which is typically found in that dorm as a team along with the rest of that staff. That's what you do. The issue at hand is there's no governing body throughout all of college. And so when you have different conferences acting independently, that's how you have the SEC come out and put out a statement. Well, yeah, it's safe. Our doctors say it's safe to move forward. But then you got the Big Ten, just a couple states away, putting out a statement. It's not safe to move forward. There are conflicting reports. It leaves your athletes confused, leaves your coaches confused, leaves your analysts confused. The NCAA messed up when not having a governing body and not thoroughly trying to research and figuring out what can we do, because a bubble is feasible. All college athletes, all college football players, let me specify, at least major college programs that I'm aware of, you live in a bubble for 2 to 4 weeks during camp anyway. It's not out of the ordinary. It's not unheard of, and it's not unfeasible nor unlikely to have been able to do. The NCAA just did not, the Big Ten, more importantly, thus far, since they're the first domino to have fallen, they just did not preemptively make a move, and now it's cost thousands, really, of these athletes.
Well, you saw what Mark Emmert and the NCAA said. Whoa, I washed my hands. You guys make your own decisions within your own conferences and your own commissioners and your own presidents. And Emmert has said that because he knows he doesn't have the power and the backing that the SEC has financially and the resources and the folks down there and in the Big Ten and in the ACC and in the Big 12 and all of these different conferences. So it's going to be left to these conferences. And I'll say this as well. As bummed as I am, there's also part of me, and I know you two feel this as well, in listening to these players over the last few days speak up and voice and say, give us a chance. Watching the chancellor there at Wake Forest go on that football field, that was powerful and compelling to hear those players say, give us a chance. We're competitors. We will bubble. We will do what we need to do. We will make the right choices. The Ohio State program responding in much the same way. So to see those student athletes respond and say, give us this chance to prove to you that we can do what our peers in the professional sports are seemingly doing very, very well, that's not going to happen in the Big Ten. I firmly believe the Pac-12 will follow suit, and we will all be left to see exactly what the leadership in the SEC, the ACC, and ultimately the Big 12 as well decides.
Isn't it as easy as us just following the money? It's almost like a zero-sum game where you look at the professional levels, and we know the economic forces supporting those leagues. NFL, $18 billion plus, half of that in the NBA, et cetera. And you can see this economic health balance seesaw. So when you're making a lot of money, guess what? The health concerns a little less. And then when you're not as making as much, we care a lot more.
But Marcellus, there's a central force, right? There's Roger Goodell that says, shoot me. There's Adams the Arrows. Put them right at me. Go ahead. I'll take all of them. Rob Manfred, go ahead. I'll take all of them. I'll take all the criticism. I'll take all the arrows. I'm the one in charge. I'm the one getting paid. I'll take those arrows. But to your guys' points earlier, who is that in college football? It's not Mark Emmert. That's not the NCAA. He washed his hands. Is it Greg Sankey? Is it which commissioner? Who's going to step up? Is it a coach? Who got the most power in college football to step up and say, I will be the one to take all this criticism because it will come. I will be the one to take all this hate because it will come. I will be the one who will take on all this noise because it will come. They don't have that central force. You've got fiefdoms in each of their conferences running the show. And I think this experience has shown us, we've known that, but it's shown us those sifting sand.
Here's my thing, Brock, because you went there, so I'm going to go there. I don't like to be the first guy to go somewhere, but, you know, it's not that I'm a follower, but it's time for me to follow. You said that the players put out these messages. Everybody was trying to hide for the last 24 to 48 hours behind different groups of people. Well, you saw what Trevor Lawrence said, right? You saw what Justin Fields said, right? They want to play. Since when do we listen to these athletes? Since when? Because the athletes have been put out statements. Oh, we want to get paid, they said. Ah, well, they're just athletes. Can't listen to them, those hooligans. They just don't know anything. They're 17 to 20 years old. They don't know how this all works. Oh, wait, Justin Fields says, we've been putting in this work. We want to play. We got to listen to these athletes. Everybody now would have been trying to hide because there was nobody to step up to the plate and say, you know what? I'm going to really to lead this ship. This was my issue, Brock, with this last 48 hours was seeing these players tweet. Didn't nobody care about what the players had to say beforehand?
Uh-oh.
Nobody cares about what the players had to say beforehand. But now when it serves a certain narrative, now when we can hide behind players, oh, well, now we got to listen to what Trevor Lawrence said. Wasn't nobody trying to hear Trevor Lawrence last year, 2 years ago? Wasn't nobody trying to hear Justin Fields? Wasn't nobody trying to hear Kane Coulter, the Northwestern quarterback who tried to start a union back in 2013 or 2014, if I'm not mistaken? Uh-oh, Marcellus, I'm dropping facts.
You're going too far with these facts. You're going to lose these people.
Wasn't nobody trying to hear the college athletes then? So how can you try to hear them now? Call a spade, call a fact a fact. It wasn't up to the athletes to make this decision. It was not up to the athletes to save the day. I commend the athletes for doing what they were trying to do, but ultimately everybody is shielded behind the athletes being amateur, and that amateur athlete is now what has cost the NCAA.
Man.
Yeah, you know when it changed. It changed once those players started talking money. Now, it changed for some. I'm not going to say for all. It changed for some the minute they started to talk about any issues. That was not the case for me. I love that they have a voice. I love much of what the Pac-12 players wanted to do as far as gather together, have more voice, tackle some of the social issues. I love that. But, you know, once you start talking money and once you start talking about what you think the value of you are in that program, that's when you start to lose people. I honestly believe that the player, the image and likeness that's going to become a name, image, and likeness a year from now is going to help with some of that. I don't know if you two agree, but I think it will help disclose some of that, some of the value these guys really do have and some of the value they don't have on both sides of it. It's going to be a rude awakening, like you were talking about, Emmanuel, with your draft status coming out after your junior year. Right? They all think I'm worth $250,000. I'm worth $1 million. I'm worth all this. I'm going to have everybody come at me. Everybody wants my name. Everyone wants my jersey. It's not going to happen that way. But I think that's where, you know, Marcellus, you said it, man. Once it comes down to the dollars and cents, this thing becomes very, very complicated.
Man, this is like the fall of the Roman Empire right here, man. I see some parallels between a great boxing mind and a great friend of mine. Max Kellerman and I used to talk on our radio show about the downfall of boxing. And in the 70s and early 80s, let a 6'4", 280-pound guy like myself have an opportunity to go boxing or football. I was going to choose boxing. The heavyweight champion of the world morphed into a defensive end in the NFL the late 80s, 90s, et cetera. So what we used to talk about is, why did boxing lose its way? Because it didn't have a central governing body, an authority figure. They let the promoters run the circus. And what turned into running that circus was what I'm seeing right now in college football, all these conferences and super conferences. And then, like you say, the president washes his hands and says, hey, it's all on you guys as individual promotions of your own body. So if you don't want to get caught up in this, boxing had belts after belts and it started to water down, then you started to look, which way is up in this situation? And the money became what everyone chased, but then they started to chase their own tail in situations where you needed leadership, when you needed to go uniform in one direction. And if college football can't do it right now, I'm scared to say that they may find themselves in a place that is going to be too far gone than where they are right now. Coming up, Brett Favre says Aaron Rodgers isn't threatened by the Packers drafting Jordan Love.
Oh, really?
We'll tell you if he should be. Let's speak for yourself, presented by Hyundai.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gotti, welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's move on to Green Bay, where the quarterback drama isn't going away anytime soon. Aaron Rodgers said he was bummed when the Packers drafted Jordan Love and added recently, quote, I know I can control this year. Brett Favre knows about a rookie quarterback joining the team, gave his perspective on the Rodgers-Love dynamic, saying, quote, they certainly have their reasons, but I think initially Aaron was just a little bewildered that they didn't do with that. I mean, he's got nothing to fear. He'll play as long as he wants to play, and he's got nothing to worry about. He's going to go down as one of the greatest
players in history, so he certainly is not threatened by someone else taking his job. Never will I read another Brett Favre quote. We're joined now by Fox NFL analyst LeVar Arrington. What the hell are you talking about? But Alto, I'm coming to you first. Should Aaron Rodgers feel threatened by Jordan Love?
Absolutely, people. I love Marcellus when y'all ask me opinionated questions, but I can answer with facts. This isn't an opinion. Brett Favre should absolutely be threatened by Jordan Love because of
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
There you go with these
honestly,
facts.
Brett Favre already should, too,
everybody
while we talking.
By Jordan Love.
Everybody should be threatened while we talking. Brett Favre, got to remember, bro, times have changed. Brett Favre was playing before IG. He was playing before Twitter. He was playing before it was an instant gratification lifestyle that we live in. And it's an instant gratification league that the NFL is in right now. 30 quarterbacks have been drafted in the first round in the last decade. Of those 30 quarterbacks, 29 have started within the first 2 years, within the first real year, actually. Mm-hmm. And so if you just look statistically, gentlemen, if you look statistically, Marcellus, if you look statistically, LeVar, the odds are not in Aaron Rodgers' favor. It's a copycat league. Everybody's chasing greatness. Well, who is everybody chasing? Pat Mahomes, because Pat Mahomes is who has proven to be great. Mm. The only problem is Jordan Love. He ain't Pat Mahomes, but the Packers ain't realized it yet. The Packers actually had Pat Mahomes before Pat Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. So the problem being the Packers chasing something they already got. And as a result, A-Rod, he got to be threatened.
Mm, just like a millennial to start off his whole
with
argument.
Facts? With truth?
No, with IG and Twitter, damn it. That's the first thing you start talking about.
Yes. This ain't the same world as IG and
it's
Twitter.
Not.
Like,
it's not
our new reality. Look, if I'm him, I'm sitting there not threatened by Jordan Love's presence, but I'm not appreciated by the Green Bay Packers. Mm. And we can get to the same place, and it may be semantics, but let's just go down the different road. Threaten means you're going to come take it from me. Not appreciated means y'all might just give it to him regardless, grading on the curve. Look, Aaron Rodgers was the beneficiary of this before when he was sitting there for 3 years, and then finally they were like, enough of this waffling from you, Brett Favre. Get up out of here. Even though, by the merits, maybe Brett Favre was still a better quarterback than first-year starter Aaron Rodgers. I'm a beneficiary of that. My fourth year with the Buffalo Bills, I wasn't a half of what Bruce Smith was. But they got him out of town because they saw someone who could give them half the production for half the cost. That's the name of the game. So I don't think that Aaron Rodgers is feeling threatened. I'm with Brett Favre. But at the same time, don't feel appreciated because they're grading on the curve and they're going to give a higher grade to Jordan Love.
Underappreciated, maybe, but I tend to say not threatened as well. And based upon the logic of one brilliant scholar by the name of Marcellus Wiley, who basically stated that equity is the most comfortable, soft landing mattress that you could ever land on. All right.
Yeah, yeah.
He has built up equity in Green Bay. He has earned the right to not be threatened by a young Jordan Love at this point in his career. Sure, we can focus on the facts and throw out the statistical categories as one Emmanuel Acho is so great at doing and saying words that people can't understand, like CTE's real words. I never knew how to say it and still don't know how to say it today.
But
I will say.
Chronic traumatic.
He tried to say it. He couldn't say it either.
Yes. Yes. But what I will say is Aaron Rodgers, a two-time MVP of the league. Aaron Rodgers, a Super Bowl MVP, which, by the way, I do believe Emmanuel Acho said that Nick Foles is the greatest Philadelphia Eagle of all time. Because he won that Super Bowl. So when I look at Aaron Rodgers and his body of work and what that represents to the Green Bay community, it is not the right time to say Aaron Rodgers is threatened by Jordan Love. But we can throw out motivated. He's motivated to continue to look at himself and be Aaron Rodgers.
Whoa, Acho.
Man,
you weren't here yesterday.
Come on, somebody help LeVar, man, because this man said that Aaron Rodgers built up enough equity
to land that's on a correct. Nice
yeah, yeah, I like equity. Nice that's a good one.
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Peyton Manning not build up equity in Indianapolis?
Don't do that.
Did Emmitt Smith not build up equity with the Cowboys? Did Brett Favre not build up equity with the Packers? Did Tom Brady not build up equity with the Patriots?
This is a different day.
How you talking to me about equity, sir? Equity means nothing to ownership. Equity is proven to mean nothing.
Equity plays out in social media now, Emmanuel Acho. You just said it.
Equity is not going to keep Aaron Rodgers' job, sir. Equity is not going to keep, Aaron, it's not what you've done for me lately. It's what have you done for me lately?
Selling jerseys.
What's going to sell?
Selling hope.
What sells
R-E-L-A-X.
More hope?
R-E-L-A-X. Relax.
What sells more hope than a first-round pick? First-round picks are exclusively based off of hope.
You're on the ropes.
Like, first-round picks are hope. First-round picks are nothing but a wish.
You're on the ropes.
Nothing but a wish and hope. So I'm a little confused by equity and by hope.
Yeah, LeVar, don't be trying to use my word out of place and out of context. Now you made my word look bad. I didn't apply equity to this situation. I wanted to go down the two lanes of, and they're parallel, of not being appreciated, underappreciated, and threatened. And I'm saying you're going to get to the same place, just which road you want to take. And I give you guys a classic example. I'm sure we've all been there. In college, I was in love with somebody.
Hmm.
Woo! Hmm. And we were dating 6 months or so. Then finally, she just...
Love after 6 months?
Shut up. I loved her the day one.
I was all in.
Boy, I was all in. If I had some money then, I would have showed her, too. But I couldn't. Anyway, one day I get that call, and she's like, I think we need to talk. You know what the talk
she
is.
She found somebody.
She not find somebody else. She went back to her ex. The same dude I had to hear for about 6 months about how bad he was, and I finally got in the clear, and she going back there. I'm fine. We stayed friends. Shut the trap. You're so stupid. I helped. My own demise. Damn it. So then,
You helped.
So then a year or two goes by, and guess what? Somebody got drafted. Oh.
Here she comes.
Oh, you already know.
Here she comes knocking on the door.
Hey, that dude never threatened me. I just was underappreciated by my girl at the time. And then I've heard of a woman scorned, but not a pro athlete scorned. But damn it, I was hurt and I couldn't see anymore because I was not appreciated. Aaron Rodgers in the situation, not threatened at all. But trust me, it still could be a situation where they pulled a rug from underneath them. And next thing you know, he out of town and it's Jordan Love.
Should have bought her the Louis bag, Mark.
I had no money then.
Aaron Rodgers is not worried about no exes coming back and appreciating this and you help that. Like, that's just
they ain't
rhetoric.
Trying to holler at Jordan Love at the club.
They are.
It's rhetoric.
They bought him a table.
They got Jordan Love. Yeah. Come on, let's be clear. When you used to go to the spot, you had more than one VIP table. You had one for the homies. You had one for
the
side.
I'm telling yourself.
I might be going too deep.
Hey, go to break, Marcel. Coming up. Go to break.
I've been married 5 years trying to get to six. I'm getting to six. The Lakers won last night on Kyle Kuzma's game winner. Tell you if Kuzma can be the third piece in L.A.'s big three next. Speak for yourself. It's presented by Hyundai. Stop talking. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Let's talk about the Lakers. Came into last night's game on a 3-game losing streak, but that was snapped after Kyle Kuzma hit a game-winning 3-pointer.
Kuz
didn't lack any confidence after the game, saying, quote, Jesus could be in front of me and I'll probably still shoot it.
Ooh.
Ron spoke on how big a factor Kuzma is to the Lakers' success. Take a listen.
In order for us to win a championship, he has to be our third best player. And if I'm struggling or if AD's struggling, he has to be our second best player, you know, any given night. I mean, it's just... We can't win a championship if Kuz doesn't play well.
Joined now by Fox NBA analyst Slick Rick the Buker. Starting with you, Acho, though. Can the Lakers count on Kuzma to be the third star?
They have to. Lakers ain't got no choice, bruh.
But can they?
Yes, because they have to. That's my answer.
Forced.
I was on a flight the other day, and if you were to ask me, Acho, can you count on this plane to take you to your destination? I have no choice. I'm already here now. We stuck. My seatbelt is on. I got my peanuts. I got my water. And I've hand sanitized my seat tray. I got no choice. I have to count on that. The Lakers have no choice. They have to count on Kuzma. What I realized, bro, when I dug into the numbers, shout out to Andy pulling up the stats. Kuzma's one of seven players. When he scores 20 points, his team wins 80% of his games. When Kuzma scores 20 points, the team wins 80% of the games. Who else is on that list? He's on a list with the likes of Giannis, with Jason Tatum, with LeBron James. Lakers 8-2 when Ku scores 20+. So the Lakers, bruh, they don't really have a choice. Am I dodging the question?
Maybe? Yes.
But as a LeBron fan, I'm optimistically saying, look, we got to count on Kuz. Kuz the only way, because can't count on Caruso to get buckets. Can't count on Waiters to get buckets. Avery Bradley opted out. He ain't finna get no buckets. J.R. Smith don't take off his sweats half the time. He ain't getting buckets. Don't. So Kuz is the only dude to get them buckets. So can the Lakers count on him? Yeah. They got no other option.
get him, Slick. Just
don't get on that plane, Acho.
I know.
Get on that plane.
Why you on it?
If the Lakers truly believe that Kyle Kuzma has to be the third star for them to win a championship, then they must have started a Harry Potter book club in the bubble because they are living some fantasy right now. Kyle Kuzma isn't even a starter.
Ooh.
Kyle Kuzma has never played a minute of playoff basketball. Kuzma, when he was at the University.
Slick, stop with all the truth, Slick. Stop with all the truth. I don't like all that.
NCAA tournament game well, and they lost it. When he was the man at Utah, they went out when they went to the NIT and lost. And look, I don't like bagging on Kuz. Could he one day be the third player, the third star on a championship team? Yeah, maybe. But that's not even fair to put this on him at this point. No, he can't be that guy. And if this is what is required, then the Lakers truly are in trouble. And I suspect that the reason that LeBron is saying this, because there's one name you didn't mention, Acho, and that was Danny Green.
Danny Green can't find a bucket together, right now.
The thought was that could be the third star, and quite clearly Danny Green's not ready up to not up to that at this point. So no Danny Green, as you mentioned, no Avery Bradley, Alex Caruso. There is no third star on this team.
Bang.
So go ahead and say it's going to be Kuz.
Facts, man.
Look, he shouldn't have got on the plane. And I'm a challenge. Where is he sitting? Because he's talking about water and peanuts, man. You got that Oprah money. You still a coach? Like, can you move on up? Like, you know, in first place. You know, anyway, you get a little more than water. Here's the thing. LeBron didn't stop there. He's talking about he needed to be the third star. If y'all keep watching the clip, he said if I'm having an off night or AD's having an off night, he needs to be the second star on our team. Wait a minute. He's not even the third star, and now he has to be the second star.
You're reading too much. I stopped reading the quote.
To that point, I had a conversation with Kuzma last year before the start of the season, and he was really perturbed. He was really upset of how the media wasn't saying the Lakers had a big three. And he said, I'm going to show y'all that I'm a part of a big three, and I am that third star. We haven't seen it just yet in the regular season, but we may see that in the playoffs. But I want to break down Kyle Kuzma because it seems like Acho is thinking a little greater about him than maybe I am. He averaged 25 minutes a game, so let's not act like even though he's a reserve, he still gets time. You know how many games that Kyle Kuzma had scoring over 30 points this year? How many, Acho, you think?
I'm going to give him one.
You better give him one because that's all you got. One, okay. How many in the 20s, let's say, our third star? You would think.
About 8, 10, 12?
Nah, you're going 9, okay. But here's a number that's greater than all those. How many in the single digits? You know, the Draymond Green triple singles. Like, how many of those? 21. So the thing is, he's wildly inconsistent. And more times than not, if you want to go law of averages, he's probably going to give you less than what you want. With 25 minutes already scored. So LeBron, I don't know if it's pressure, but telling him to wear the jacket that he was already given.
Marcellus, though, bro.
I don't know about this.
What you want Bron to do? What you want him to go up to the podium and say,
don't say
well,
that.
Look, Kyle Kuzma, really, he ain't all that. Danny Green, he can't find a bucket. Avery Bradley, please come help us. We need you. Caruso, you need to shave the rest of your hair off. What you want LeBron to say? He's already on the plane, Slick. He's already on the plane, Marcellus. He fastened his seatbelt. They're headed to a championship. Kyle Kuzma's the only way. He ain't got no choice. He has no choice.
Hogwarts be killing it, man. Hogwarts be killing it. Look, we're saying all this off of a game, by the way, in which it was a pro-am. There was no defense played. The freaking Denver shot 58%. The Lakers shot well over 50%. And oh, by the way, None of the Denver starters played in the fourth quarter.
Thank you.
And he was being guarded by a second round pick rookie who was late closing out, and he made the game winning shot. And you would have thought that the Lakers had just won the championship by the way they reacted. That tells you everything you need to know about where they are. Look, I get pumping up Kuz. I get trying to tell him you can be this, but I need a little bit more than that. That's smoke and mirrors, bro.
I hate when somebody tells me something I already know. That means they don't believe in me. Coming up, Uncle Jimmy joins the show. We'll ask him what he thought of yesterday's show without Acho. Next, Speak for Yourself, presented by Hyundai. Welcome back to Speak for Yourself, joined now by Uncle Jimmy. Jimmy, your thoughts on yesterday's epic show without Emmanuel Acho?
I know you missed me, Uncle.
Hey, man, I don't care. All I care about is Emmanuel. Is you good? Is you good?
Uh-oh, shut up.
Look here, man. Do not let these overly hydrated booyah brothers intimidate
booyah
you.
Booyah brothers.
Don't
booyah.
Let them try to run you off, man.
What?
Let me tell you this, man. If you're going to leave, hey, man, I say this man to man. Hey, man, take me with you, man. Hey, man, take me with you and Oprah, man.
We ain't got nowhere to go,
hey,
huh?
Man, look, yeah. Look, man, we from different tribes. I'm Mandingo. You Nigerian. Hey, man, we got to stick together, man. I can be Stedman. I could be Harpo. I could be Dr. Phil. Man, I be Dr. Phil. Man, don't leave me. I
got
left.
I got you. Oh, man. Mandingo, a country. That is hilarious. That's it for us.